This is the 4501 podcast, episode 46, How to Buy TV on Black Friday in 2019.
But what have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm almost over this cold, but I've been going to the gym every day. Can you believe it? Like 7 a.m. Well, like 7:30 a.m. going to the gym. Still don't have my computer back. It's up in New York getting repaired. So I'm using one of my old computers and doing a little bit of blogging here and there. But other than that, yeah, just not too much. You?
Where have you been? Working, you know, living the grind life. Where have you been going to the gym?
Planet Fitness. As a guest. So I don't have to pay anything.
Whose guest are you?
Nick. Episode.
Oh, that's right. He's
at home. Yeah.
All right. Well. Well. Enough about fitness. Maybe one day we'll get into that episode or topic. But welcome to episode 46, and today we're going to be talking about not fitness. Tony, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, complete opposite. TVs. Being sedentary and sitting on a couch and watching TV. Although, who really watches TV anymore?
Me? I mean, everyone watches TV. It's all about Netflix and...
Netflix and, like, streaming content.
I see what you're saying. Who actually watches cable television anymore?
Except if it's, like, a football game, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, so since Black Friday is coming up in 2019, today is the first week of November. We're just going to talk about, you know, what things you should look out for in a TV, because it's very deceptive, you know. There's like a lot of, like one brand could have 50 models of the same TV and you don't know what like to look out for. And so I just went through this process trying to buy a TV for my wife's dad, and I don't know. There just seemed like there's a lot of info that we could share on this topic to help you kind of alleviate the process of trying to figure out which model, which brand, which all this stuff to buy.
Okay. But like, do you think, before we get into like the tech specs, which I think is going to be the focus of this podcast, do you think our listeners should wait until Black Friday to buy, or are there deals already that they should keep a lookout for?
So I think there are deals right now that you can buy. It just depends. I think a good way to figure out if your price is good is to use Amazon as kind of a resource. Not actually Amazon directly, but, you know, Keepa.com or Camel, and those will give you a nice good tracking of prices for TVs or actually products in general. Because I guess this is just a general blanket statement about Black Friday. Sometimes Black Friday doesn't have good deals, and it may be deceptive, because what some companies do, and not all companies, but some of them, what they'll actually do is they'll have a sale price. Let's say an item is MSRP $100. And during the year, like outside of Black Friday, they'll have it set at like $80 at a discount. And what they'll do sometimes is they're banking on people not knowing how much of a discount actually is. And so for Black Friday, instead of $80, it'll be like $85. And so Keepa and Camel does a good job of, you know, tracking prices over whatever time frame you're looking at. And it'll tell you if a deal on Black Friday is actually the lowest price ever or not. It'll give you a good chart about that.
Yeah, I've used those plenty of times in the past, and their email notification feature when a price drops is really cool. So I highly recommend that if you don't have an account on one of those platforms, to check it out, because it'll save you tens, if not hundreds of dollars, especially when you're talking about a TV.
Yeah. And so, regardless, you know, just keep your eye. I think even if you don't use those two websites, just try to get a sense of what the TV. So let's talk about TV. So like, get a sense now before Black Friday of what the prices have been and what they currently are now. And a lot of times, actually, stores will actually publish their Black Friday sales like now, in advance of their like Cyber Monday or Black Friday days. So you can actually tell the prices of the TVs what they will be on those particular days. And so they'll publish the brand, the specifications, and all this stuff. And so is there anything else you want to cover before we actually start getting to the tech specs?
I mean, I guess we could just talk about price right off because that seems like a good transition. What should somebody expect to pay for, I don't know, a 50-inch 4K TV Black Friday?
Yeah, so it depends on the brand, right? It's always going to depend on the brand and also kind of just the model of the panel. There are various panels like LEDs or OLEDs, and depends on all that stuff. And so let's just group them into two different categories. Let's say budget 50-inch TVs or premium TVs. And at this point, a budget 50-inch TV, you can expect between, I guess, like $250 to $350. And then for a premium, you can expect between $400 to like $600. I think that's the range for a 50-inch 4K TV.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Did you already...
Sorry. Go ahead.
Did you already buy the TV for your wife's dad?
Yeah, I did. And so it wasn't like my choice, but it's still a decent value, and we just set it up and it looks fine. And so this is kind of one of the things. The things we like when you're first starting off looking for a TV, you got to think about what you're actually using the TV for.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a good rule of thumb for anything. You know, we talked about this in building a PC. What are you using the PC build for?
Right.
I talked about this when we were talking about computer monitors, picking a screen for your computer.
Yep.
What are you using it for? So the same thing applies here. If you're just using it to watch Netflix and the occasional TV show and not like cinema movies, like movies you would see in a theater, and you don't care about, you know, the utmost quality, you can get away with buying those cheap TVs as long as they have good ratings on Amazon. Like if they're like between a 4 and a 5 or whatever.
Okay.
Looking through reviews obviously is very helpful because people will tell you what they think of the TV. But I think one of the most important things is actually going into the store and looking at a display model. And yes, they do have some built-in augmentation. But overall, you do get a sense of what TVs are better than others.
That's such a good point because, you know, you can read about tech specs all day and refresh rates and resolutions and colors and all that stuff, but it really comes down to like a personal preference and what you see in person, like looking at the screen.
Yeah,
so
the eye test is very, I mean, obviously you're using the TV as a visual technology and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so looking, the eye test is very important, and it's almost probably the most important thing. When you're looking into designing a TV. So a lot of the times, if you see those ads for like on sale, in store or perhaps just online only, I think it's very important to actually get into the store, find a display model, and actually visually look at it, because that'll help you. Even with a caveat, those, like, I don't know what you call them, display models, but what's the programming? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they're pre-programmed to scroll through like the best quality of images.
Yeah, yeah. Like the super slow motion cinematic.
display mode. So sure, like those display TVs are showing display mode, and those have been specifically calibrated for those particular TVs to augment kind of what you're seeing. And so, but with that being said, like you can tell discrepancies between two different panels.
Yeah. No, for sure. And it makes me think of something else while you're talking about that. I guess it ties back in what you were saying before about what is your purpose for the TV, because like if you're going to be watching cable news, which is broadcast and like probably 1080 pixels versus like these Netflix movies in 4K that you're streaming, you might not need to go all out on those tech specs, right? Because if you have 4K TV looking at a 1080 pixel cable television program, you kind of like went over top on the budget a little bit and you're not using your TV to the fullest. But on the other hand,
yeah, I would agree with you. But like at the same time, Tony, you as a YouTuber know that even shooting at 4K and down-resing it to 80p looks a lot better than shooting in 1080p native.
It does. Yes. There is a,
right.
bump in quality. But
so you're right. You're absolutely right. If you don't care about 4K, then buy a 1080p panel for your resolution. But I think for me personally, I'm just gonna always recommend 4K. Just buy a 4K panel.
Me too. I'm with you there. I always recommend 4K. And I know they have 8Ks. I don't know if I would recommend them just yet because I don't think there's much content being broadcast or streamed in 8K at this point.
Also, if you're buying an 8K TV, like if you're you're not listening to this podcast.
I think like minimum $2,000. I've seen like an 8K TV.
They're like $10,000
for an 8K TV. On average, yes. But you can get like a cheap quote unquote one for as low as $2,000, but no.
I've never seen that. That's incredible.
Yeah. But so yeah, moving on from 8K. Are there any other specs that we should look out for when buying
a TV? One thing I will think that looking actually at the model name is very daunting for a lot of people. And so let me give you an example. And so TCL is a budget TV manufacturer, okay? And the TCL has essentially like four different classes. Well, they have eight. So they're a budget TV manufacturer, but they do make budget TVs and also they make premium TVs to kind of make that a little less confusing. And so they have different series. It's enabled 3 series, 4 series, 5 series, 6 series, and 8 series.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if they actually have a 7 series. Yeah. But basically what the demarcation is the 5 series, okay? So the 3 through 5 series are budget and the 6 series on up are premium. Does that make sense?
Okay, so they just have it divvied up like that.
Yeah. And so what TCL does is kind of confusing at the same time. And so what they'll do is when they make their TV model numbers, they kind of just go like this. Like if it's a 50-inch TV and it's a 4 series, they'll do like 50S4 and then some other numbers behind it. Okay. And that basically means it's a 50-inch 4 series. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm with you so far.
But sometimes then for the 6 series, which is the premium, they'll go 50S6, some extra numbers. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So there's like a slight variation after that S.
And those are just jargon? We don't care about them numbers?
Well, you should care about them. You should look out for them. Because if you're looking for a TV that has premium features, okay, and sometimes it'll just say 50S6, okay, you just need to make sure that the model number you're buying matches up with the model number of the specs you're looking for the TV.
Okay.
And so let's put this into actual context. The 6 series for TCL has the ability to play movies that have been coded for Dolby Vision or HDR10 or stuff like that. Basically, what that means is that particular TV has the ability to produce over 10 billion colors, I think. I think it's 10 billion.
Whoa.
The 4 series, on the other hand, does not have any ability to play Dolby Vision titles or some other couple different formats. That basically means it's only allowed to play 1 billion colors, which doesn't seem like a lot, but that's a log difference, right?
Sure.
And so if you're a cinemaphile, if you care about the color reproduction of your movies, if you care about the contrast of your movies, then 10 billion colors makes a difference. It does, because you just see more colors in that 6 series compared to the 4 series. And so if you see like a TV, just make sure that if the price matches up with kind of like the demarcation, whether it's a budget classification or a premium classification. Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure. Just, yeah.
Because I just don't want people to be confused by the model numbers because sometimes they are very long and they are very frustrating and you don't know what's what.
No, that's really good advice because otherwise you're not comparing apples to apples. You got to specifically look at those model numbers to make sure you're examining what you looked at online prior to going to the store.
I just told you like exactly like the difference between a 6 series and a 4 series beyond cost is literally two numbers in the model.
Yeah. So pay attention, be a smart buyer and do your research and know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so I think that's something to be clear at because you could think you're getting a better TV, but you're not.
Right. Do you think that any of these like smart TV features are like better than the other ones or like what's your What should a consumer look at for smart TVs?
So it depends on the connectivity, right?
Yeah.
So in smart TV, we mean that the TV is capable of connecting to the internet.
Okay.
And then opening kind of native apps built into it. So if you think you've heard about like Roku,
mm-hmm.
or Fire Stick or Chromecast or whatever.
Yes.
Basically what those are I just want to say mini computers, because that's essentially what they are. They're mini computers that you can plug into to your TV, and you can launch like Netflix app or Amazon Prime app or Hulu or something like that. But some TVs will have that built in to the actual TV operating system, and so you don't need another dongle. And so you can actually open Hulu or Netflix through the TV's operating system rather than attaching a dongle. That being said, most TV OSs, I think the best, honestly, is probably LG, and I could be wrong about that. But most TV operating systems are really bad. But basically, it's because they're underpowered. Like, the CPU in them is just really bad.
Okay.
Not very good.
So, in your opinion, do you think that these external streaming devices are better than the internal smart TV capabilities?
I think so. Obviously, you add a little bit more variation to your setup, because you have to, you know, have an external box, then you have a cable that you have to connect to the TV, and there's a lot of different factors. But I think ultimately it's just your preference, you know?
Yeah.
Because I always find that the TV operating systems, I guess my TV operating systems have always been a little laggy, and I'm comparing this to an Apple TV 4K.
Right.
And so the Apple TV 4K is a great operating system. It's very intuitive. It's very smooth. It produces really good quality when you're watching movies. And when you compare that to the actual TV operating system and launching the apps, it's very buggy. It's very laggy. The quality, I don't know if the quality is on the par. There really isn't a noticeable difference. But I will say that I've always watched it through like my Apple TV or external device.
Yeah. All right. That's really good advice, like real world advice. And I've seen the same thing too. So I think in general, to people listening, if you do have like an external streaming device such as like Apple TV or Chromecast or something like that, then don't get caught up with like smart TV features too much, and just go ahead and use what you got, and move on from that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you want to get into kind of like the tech specs or whatever?
Yeah, let's go through it. Let's nail that one by one.
Yeah, and so one thing, I think the first thing you want to point out going off to what you're watching, like using this for, is are you watching this for Netflix? Are you watching this for like football on the weekends? Are you watching this for movies and home theater? And so all that relates to resolution. And we talked about resolution a little bit. But basically, if you're watching and using your TV for just like Netflix and TV, like cable TV,
yeah.
I think 4K is probably the way to go, right?
Agree. Yeah. That's what most of the sales are going to be, like 4K TVs. That's what's popular in 2019, at least. So, stick with that and you can't go wrong.
Yep. And so kind of branching off of that, most people are going to decide between, I think there's two factors when people come into buying TVs. It's the size of the TV,
mm-hmm.
and also the price of the TV, right?
Sure.
And so the best kind of scenario is a big TV for cheap.
That would be ideal. Yeah.
That's the most ideal.
Yeah.
What most people don't realize is that some of those big TVs are cheap for a reason. And so just because it says a 70-inch 4K ultra high definition TV doesn't mean that it's the best TV you're going to get. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like, there could be a much better 50-inch TV for that same exact price with better specs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people always try to like ask themselves, why is this 70-inch TV like $500, whereas this 55-inch TV is $600? Like, what's the difference between the two?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most likely it's the features involved with that. And so we talked about Dolby Vision, HDR10, HLG, and a little bit before. But basically all that means is it's the ability of your TV panels to produce a certain amount of colors. So in Dolby Vision or HDR10, you can produce like 10 million colors versus 1 million, what 10 billion colors versus 1 billion colors respectively, okay? And so if you're a cinemaphile, A, you probably aren't listening to this episode because you've already did the research on TVs, but B, you want to go for the TV that produces the best color possible. And so that would be TVs capable of doing HDR 10 plus or HDR 10 or Dolby Vision. And so those are more expensive features, which means that you're looking at TVs that are going to cost more.
So
that's 70-inch budget TVs may not have those features.
Okay. Are these Dolby Vision, HDR10, et cetera, are those like proprietary ratings, or how do those work? Because I'm not actually familiar with those.
It's weird. They're like proprietary color I don't even know if they're color profiles.
Yeah.
It's like the way they're encoded. I don't have a good idea of it because it's just, it's very convoluted for someone who's not in that space.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I know is it's the ability of the panel to produce X amount of colors.
So as long as you have one of those listed on the box, are you good?
You should have the ability to produce more colors. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So look out for any one of those four. What are they again? Dolby Vision, HDR10, HD.
I think they're like viewing formats. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like you don't have to set the TV to that. It'll automatically register.
Okay.
Like it's like an automatic thing.
Okay.
Once the TV detects that the movie that's incoming is a Dolby Vision movie, it'll automatically change the color profile.
Oh, I get it. So it's very dependent on the what you're watching, the content.
Yeah. And so that being said, if it's a Dolby Vision movie and your TV can't produce Dolby Vision, it'll auto default to like HDR 10, which is like the difference between Dolby Vision and HDR 10 is one's open source and the other one's closed source. So Dolby Vision is proprietary, owned by Dolby.
Yeah.
And then HDR 10 is actually just like an open source formatting. So it's one of those wars that's going on. It's kind of like Blu-ray versus HD. What's the other one? What was the old one?
Just like
HD movies or something?
DVD.
like the DVD formats.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, of course.
It was like Blu-ray versus like Ultra HD or something like that.
And now they're both.
And then Blu-ray 1.
Well, Blu-ray 1, and now they're just like both like non-existent anymore.
They're both the same thing. But yeah, so like that's it's a format war.
Okay. You know?
That's just it.
I get it. Okay, so we got.
And so if you have a TV that is capable of displaying those formats, then obviously that's a better TV for future proofing.
Makes sense. I'm with you.
Yep.
So we got resolution, color. What else? What's next?
Let's talk about contrast next.
Contrast.
People don't think contrast is a very important thing to look at. And what I'll say also is that the numbers generated on the contrast, like if you look at a TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see contrast, like 10 million to 1 contrast ratio. What does that even mean? Every brand has their own standardized tests. Every brand has their own formatting.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy what you think. And so what I'll say is the eye test is very important when it comes to this. Because you need to see for yourself, like, is this contrast actually, like, a significant contrast ratio?
And I'm thinking with that, let me just prefix this with the last time I bought a TV was in 2012, I think. That was one of the major factors that I looked at besides, like, size and price. But I think the larger the ratio is, the better. The more black you'll see versus white, right? Is that how that kind of works?
Yep. Yeah, kind of. So the blacks will look darker and the whites should look whiter.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But one thing you also need to think of. So do you know what HDR stands for? Because you see all these TVs, they say ultra high definition or something like that. But some will also say HDR. Do you know what HDR stands for? You should, because your camera can shoot in HDR.
It's high dynamic range.
Yep, high dynamic range.
Okay.
And we talked about this in gaming monitors a little bit, but can you explain what HDR is?
Is it similar to like a combination of the colors and the whites versus black, like all that kind of combined.
So it's a combination of contrast and color at the same time.
Okay.
And so basically, let me paint you a picture or put an image in your mind. You ever see Transformers or like any of those car commercials where like the car is parked on like the side of a hill and there's a sunset in the background?
Mm, yes.
Okay. Now, basically, HDR means high dynamic range. So what that means is that if you have a sun shining at you into your eyes and you're looking at the car, you will be able to see within like the shade of that car, the side that's closest to you, the car, that darkness in that shadow should have some details and some sort of picture coming through.
Mm.
The sun just being super bright shouldn't like overexpose that, and you shouldn't like be able to not see that area. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's
so like you'll be able to see details in the like the shadowy part still.
Yeah, a prime example is me looking at you right now in Google Hangouts because you got the
bright
light.
Yeah, it's bad HDR. Bad HDR. And so like, that's what actually this comes back to contrast though, because one thing the more expensive TVs will have, and this is something you should look at, are something called local dimming zones.
Oh my God, okay. I've never heard of this.
Do you know what a local dimming zone is?
No, what is this?
Okay, and so sometimes TVs will have like 8 local dimming zones or 16 or 32. They scale up in multiples of 2 and 8, I guess. Basically what that means is that there's 8 sections of the TV and they have the ability to change like their brightness based on what is coming through. So if you use that same analogy, and this time the sun's coming from the left and the shadows are on the right, the left side of the TV is able to produce that brightness, and the right side of the TV won't be as bright, and it'll be a lot darker. So you get a lot better contrast across the whole entire TV as opposed to just one kind of contrast across the whole entire TV.
Oh my gosh, so you're
talking
about
different levels.
Like a light in the room that the TV is playing. Like if it shines like at a
no, I'm talking about the back. I'm talking about the backlight.
The back. Oh, internally. Okay.
Like internally. So like one side of the screen could be super bright, and the other side of the screen doesn't have to be as bright.
Okay, I didn't realize it worked that way. But that local dimming zones. That's a new one.
Local dimming zones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did your research.
And so obviously, the more local dimming zones you have, the better the contrast of your TV is going to be, the better the image, because the TV panel actually has the ability to manipulate the brightness so that it's not actually one just giant contrast. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's kind of like for me, just hearing about it for the first time, it's like your auto brightness on your phone if you ever have that turned on.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not.
It doesn't do the whole screen.
You'll have a uniform picture still.
Yeah.
It doesn't do the whole screen. It'll do individual. And I think to some extent it'll average out that, but it looks a lot better. Like the more dimming zones you have, it'll look a lot better than just not having as many dimming zones.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got like 3 or 4. No, we talked about like 4 different specs. Is refresh rate important? I know that's something else that people should look at.
Yeah. And most... most TV companies will have a very loose definition of refresh rate. Most TVs are standard at like 60.
Uh-huh.
Okay. 60 hertz, which means that, what is it? The TV screen will refresh 60 times per second.
Right. Yep.
Now, most TV manufacturers won't say that the TV has a 60 hertz refresh rate. What they'll say is that they have an effective refresh rate of 120.
Okay.
But that's not true, because what they actually do is they have an algorithm that will actually render the frames as like double. And so it's the panel itself is maxed out at 60, but the software embedded into the TV panel will make it look like it's 120. Now, some people call that the soap opera effect. And what that means is that the picture just looks really smooth. Like it'll appear very smooth. But at the same time, it'll actually look really bad.
Yeah. It's like, ultimately like cheating, right? You're just faking it out just to get that number on
your
box.
It's a software-based upgrade. And it's not the best. So most panels you'll see the label and the phrase is effective refresh rate, and that's not actually like the case. It's actually probably just a 60 hertz panel.
Yeah.
And so you want to look for like a true 60. If you're looking for a high refresh rate TV, which some people may, if you are, you're probably not listening to this episode.
Higher than 60 or higher than 120?
Higher than 60.
Okay.
Native 60, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Not enhanced 60,
not
to 120.
Enhanced, yeah.
You probably know the TVs you're looking for. With that being said, content wise, most, I think, what is TV, cable TV? Cable TV is 30 frames per second, right?
I think so.
Or is it 24? Yeah, so like,
that's more cinematic, like film, I think.
Yeah, well, movies are usually 24 frames per second.
Yeah.
Cable TV is probably 30, I think.
Yes.
So you just got to double check and make sure that if you are looking for a high refresh rate, that it actually is 120 or whatever. But most TVs are 60, and most TVs don't need 120, I would say, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've never like stood there and watched like a 120 hertz versus a 60 hertz versus a 30 hertz TV. But I think that would be an interesting thing to do, like you said in the beginning, to go to the store and actually compare them side by side to see which one you prefer. And if there is a difference at all to your eyes.
Yeah, I don't know if there would be, like, honestly, because you really are just talking, like, if you were gaming on your monitor, obviously that makes sense, but if you were video using your monitor, your TV, not a monitor, if you're using your TV for video gaming, it's not very good, and I would not suggest that whatsoever, because the problem in that case is actually input lag, and so the response time for that is, like, TVs are notorious for having really bad response time. We're talking about 30 to 50 to 60 milliseconds. And computer monitors conversely have a response time of like 2 milliseconds to 1 millisecond to like 10 milliseconds max. And that's like super fast.
It's surprising how different a computer monitor is versus like a TV. And like, I mean, they look the same, like they have the same shape and sometimes the same size.
They're made
size.
With the same panels, right? Like,
yeah.
Like essentially.
But
I think it's just like the energy of it. And I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I have no idea why that
right.
is. But it's definitely like response times are definitely different.
That's a big part for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Well, is that most of the specs that somebody should look at when buying a TV, you think?
I think so. I mean, for like the layperson who's looking for a TV, these are kind of some basic things to think about. Obviously, there's more important things you could think about, like inputs, like the number of inputs for a TV.
Yeah.
You know, like what type of audio this TV can put out. If it's an OLED, well, I can maybe let's talk about OLED versus LED. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, please, because I'm not even sure what the difference is there.
Okay, so first off, if you're buying an OLED TV, you're looking to spend a lot of money.
Okay.
like you're looking for like $1,000 TV for like 50 to 55 inches.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so premium for sure.
It's very premium, and so. This is the same exact thing about your cell phone. Like your iPhone 11 Pro, iPhone 11 Pro Max. Is the Pixel 4 have OLED too? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I've heard that term tossed around, but I'm never really sure.
Oh, so OLED just stands for organic light emission diode. Is that what it says?
Yeah, LEDs. That's what LED is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the difference between most TVs today are LEDs. Which means that every pixel is just a light-emitting diode. It's just like a very, very small like bulb, essentially. Or OLEDs are just a different form of those LEDs. I guess they're organic, but the difference between an OLED and an LED is that the OLED has blacker blacks, which means that if you had a black screen and you're comparing an LED screen versus an OLED, the OLED looks completely dark. It looks like the screen is not turned on whatsoever. However, if you had an LED screen, you can see like there's a little bit of light coming through the back of the TV.
Yeah. Okay.
So you notice if you're in a dark room and your TV's on and it's got a blank screen with nothing on it, you'll still know the TV's on, right?
Sure. Because
you see a little bit of the light bleeding through.
Yep.
OLEDs, you won't see that whatsoever. And so that's why OLED TVs have a lot better contrast, because the blacks actually are darker and the whites are actually able to be a lot brighter.
Okay,
and so like that's why OLEDs are a lot more expensive, and they just look better. That's why.
So do you think that'll be like the default once that like technology comes down in price 3-5 years from now? most TVs will be?
It could be. I think one of the things is the manufacturing process right now is just too expensive, and the cost entry for that is too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. Once that those two things come down, OLED should be like the new standard. The one thing about OLED is that it tends to have a lot more burn-ins compared to LED.
Oh, no.
So burn-ins means that if you have like a stationary picture on your TV screen for a long time, that image will actually get burnt in, and you'll see that image 24/7 even as the picture refreshes then you change the scene. So you just got to be careful about that for OLEDs.
Dude, yeah. If I spend $1,000 on a TV, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What do you this is one last question I got for you, and then we can wrap it up. Do you think, or do you prefer one versus the other? Amazon, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, B&H for getting your TV from on Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
That's a good question. It's tough, right? And so first, I would say that for Black Friday, most of the TVs I've bought, and that's two now, for like Black Friday-ish sales. Let's just say Thanksgiving Day sale. Thanksgiving sales.
Yes.
For November sales, for buying TV, I've only bought in store. I've never bought a TV online or anything like that.
Okay.
And that's because you really do need to have that eye test. And so if you're going to buy from Amazon or B&H, I would highly suggest that you go to Best Buy or Walmart or Target, look at that TV, make sure that model number is the same model number as the ones online, and then purchase it that way. Otherwise, I would go into Best Buy or Target and buy a TV after you've looked at the display.
I think that's a perfect way to bring it all together. And I know I certainly learned something. You're much more well-versed on this topic than I am. So I'm sure you guys learned something too. So yeah, thank you for your expertise, Mark.
It's not expertise. It's just, you know, months of research trying to find the best TV for the cheapest price. And I'm sure that all of you want to do that. And with that being said, the best TV for your price is the Vizio M55.
Affiliate link in the comment section on our website.
For $400 or less. If you can get the Vizio M55 for $400 or less, then that's a great purchase.
There you have it. An expert recommendation. He's going to be modest and say he's not an expert, but he is.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tony, you know, you haven't screwed us up once yet, so please take us out and don't screw us up.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this week's episode of the 4501 Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy watching your TVs. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 4501 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the4501podcast@gmail.com.